listening to the premier Boston Red Sox podcast. Welcome to the Lone Red Seat. Here's your hosts, Ian Barber and Ryan Blazron.
Hey guys, what's up? I'm Ian Barber. With me today is Ryan Blazron. This is the Lone Red Seat.
What's up, guys? As always, Lone Red Seat is brought to you by Standing O Sports. Visit them at standingosports.com.
Yeah, guys, make sure to get the iTunes link in the description, subscribe to us there, and let's get right into the Red Sox series against the Texas Rangers, in which they took 2 out of 3, but the series did start off on an extremely sour note as they almost got no-hit by Yu Darvish.
I love no-hitters, but not when they're against the Red Sox. This was pretty terrible. I mean, this was a chance for the Red Sox to get above 500 for the first time since April 3rd. What do? Get one hit. One single hit.
But did they get one hit?
No, to be honest with you, I think that they did get two hits. I mean, Ortiz blooped one out in the right field there in the seventh inning, and drop between two guys. I don't know how you give an error on that play. They ended up giving the error to Alex Rios out in right field, but, I mean, it just dropped. Like, 9 times out of 10, you're going to call that a hit, and Yu Darvish is sitting there with a perfect game at that point. So they wanted to at least, you know, salvage the no-hitter, and fortunately Ortiz got his redemption in the ninth inning and ended that for...
No, dude. I know how you don't call that a hit. Because anyone that's not brain dead catches that ball.
But how do you give the error to somebody? Nobody touched it.
You just pick somebody.
You're like, oh, dude, Alex Rios, like, that's your ball. You should have had it.
Okay, we could talk about the definition of an error here or there, but like, when I think of an error, I think of it's like. But like, if this guy wasn't literally dumb, he would catch the ball.
I agree. Somebody should have caught it. But like. Baseball rules that it hit 9 times out of 10, and they just chose this to be the 10th time because Yu Darvish had a no-hitter going.
All right, so...
You can't just make exceptions because a guy has a good game going.
True, so I guess you got to look at the scorekeeper, and then you got to look at the rule about what an error is, because if that's not an error...
They should do it like the NFL where they give like half a sack to somebody. They should give half an error. to somebody for being stupid.
That's pretty absurd, but so like you're telling me if the guy's like who was the guy that was the second baseman?
Odor.
So
I'm intentionally mispronouncing that.
If he's going back like he was and it nicks off his glove, that's an error.
If he should have caught it, yeah.
He should have caught it, though.
Okay, then that's an error. But did it touch his glove?
Point for Ian.
Did it touch his glove?
No, it didn't.
It didn't. Why are you bringing up a hypothetical?
It's because he should have caught it. He didn't.
So you think the error should be on Odor?
You got to put it on someone.
Okay,
and just put it on
then pick somebody, dude.
I understand why he put it on Rios. He put it on Rios because Rios was coming in, and he really should have taken charge of that ball, and he could have caught it easily. Either one of them could have caught it, so in my opinion, that's an error.
Okay,
but,
so you
yeah.
An error to Rios and half an error to Odor.
Sounds good, dude.
Call me crazy, I mean, 1 second, says sounds good the next. I don't know about this guy.
All right, anyways, yeah, Red Sox get one hit.
Clay Buchholz? How bad?
Yeah, I was just going to say, not much to talk about on the Red Sox end, but the Rangers definitely got quite a few hits, 14 of them, 10 of them off Corey Buchholz. And so, yeah, 4 1/3, 6 earned. And I mean...
He was not spotting the ball well at all. I mean, we've seen in the last couple starts before this one, the velocity was up a little bit. He was, you know, painting the corners, and he was throwing them right over the middle of the plate in this one.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck's wrong with Buchholz. It's kind of getting old at this point. I mean, I still not giving up on him, but he's making it so hard.
You gave up on him on his fantasy team, don't want it for you.
He's making it so hard for me to give up on, or to not give up on him, I should say. So, yeah, Red Sox dropped that one to go to under 500 again.
Yep.
But then, so
then they've got a chance to redeem themselves in those chances to get to 500.
Yeah, and they did. They did last time against Cincy, and they do again here. They win the game 2-8-3. And kind of amazing, like, coming out of getting one hit and then putting up 8 runs on 11 hits.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Yu Darvish will do to you, I guess. But, I mean, John Lester, big stopper there for the Red Sox. Gives them 7 innings, striking out 8. You know, gives up 3 runs, but the offense is there with him. And so, really, a pretty easy game for the Red Sox to take. You know, score 1 in the second, 1 in the third, add a big inning in the fourth. Really had command the whole way.
Definitely, but if there's one negative you can take away from this game, it's the fact that 2 base runners got caught stealing. David Ross got caught on...
Ross.
Yeah.
David Ross.
I think that might have been like a missed hit and run, though.
This is what John Farrell said. He said he tried a sneak attack Saturday night, having backup catcher David Ross attempt to steal second base. The 37-year-old, ready? Are you ready? 37-year-old has how many bases? How many? This is a quiz for you. How many stolen bases over 13 seasons?
13 seasons?
Yep.
Well, I mean, he's got to get a few of those just random, basically fielders and difference. I'd say like 6.
6. That is way high. He had 2 stolen bases.
Oh, okay.
And
all right.
Sneak attack with 37-year-old Blue Wolf David Ross.
To be fair, no one would expect it.
But it didn't matter.
truth.
Sneak attack only works if you're good enough to get it even when they don't expect it. And but another thing is Pedroia got caught stealing, and he's below 500 in his steal percentage this season. And that...
Yeah, actually, the Red Sox...
He's that leadoff guy trying to... I mean, obviously nobody expects him to fill the shoes that Ellsbury left behind, but, I mean, Pedroia is usually a 20-steal-a-year guy, at least.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox as a team are actually 50% for the year, 11 of 22, and that's the worst in the AL. And, I mean, we knew it was going to go downhill with Jacoby a little bit, but I think it'll help when... Victorino gets his legs under him a little bit. I mean...
But will he get his legs underneath him?
What's that?
Will he get his legs underneath him, though? I mean, do we really...
Yeah, I mean, he's a 20-steal guy, just like kind of like Pedroia, maybe even a little more.
Yeah, but do we really want him? I mean, this is a guy who's probably going to pull his hamstring if he ever hits top speed.
Yeah, I don't care. It's a price you got to pay.
Price you got to pay for stealing one base.
I don't know. Do you think we should just call up Mookie Betts from Double A and have him?
Why not? Why not?
I mean, let me just read you guys Mookie Betts' line through the first.
The guy who didn't even know Mookie Betts like 2 weeks ago, and all of a sudden he's researching him and he wants to read off his stats.
32 games of the year, he's batting a solid .396. 5 home runs, 15 steals, only been caught 3 times. So, I mean, he'd basically have almost as many steals as the Red Sox this year.
Yeah, but, 5 is the same as 11, I guess, but...
Yeah, 15 is more than 11 now that I think about it.
Wow.
Okay,
so the Red Sox, we can throw that out there.
Red Sox take game 2 of that series, 8-3. Great start out of John Lester, just shutting him down. And I don't know if we talked about this before, but that actually leads me to the question. So Lester turned down the contract offer originally, and so do you think that Lester is that guy that you invest in? I mean, he is how many years old? And there's a lot of young pitchers in the league, so
he's gonna get paid. He's gonna get paid.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that if Buchholz was who he was last year, we could have more of a debate about this, but the Red Sox need that ace of the staff. And, I mean, he's 30 years old. I mean, that's not exactly what the Sox are looking for, but this is a guy who, I mean, he's already said he's going to take a hometown discount, obviously not to the degree that we were hoping, but this guy's one of the few faces of the Red Sox for the future, I think, and he's going to get paid at the end of the season, and it's not going to be fun to look at when they're tossing 20-plus million a year at him, but he's proven himself.
See, I'm just not one of the Red Sox fans that are just saying throw at Lester what it takes to keep him here. I don't think he's a top flight ace, to be honest.
Well, then who's gonna be the Red Sox ace?
We could go on and on about different options as far as around the league, but I just don't know that you pay
a
guy.
You've got an aging John Lackey. You've got an aging Jake Peavy, and you've got a Clay Buchholz who can't get people out, and you've got a Felix DuBrant who sucks. John Lester is the only guy who is of relative age and is getting guys out.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I'm just saying you're not going to throw Kershaw money at a guy that's not Kershaw.
Kershaw money is like $10 million more than what we're going to pay John Lester.
All right, just don't. I'm just saying you can't. Why break the bank for a guy's career ERA is 3.72? I mean,
but if the Red Sox throw $20 million at one pitcher, they're not exactly breaking the bank.
I would like to see them keep John Lester. I just don't know if he's worth the blank check that a lot of Red Sox fans are saying that he is. I don't know.
I mean, the market's just rising, and it sucks, but that's what it is.
Yeah, and then so definitely Lester goes out there and proves that he's worth the money in the game too to get Red Sox get back to 500.
And 500.
Yeah, now we're above 500.
April 3rd, Red Sox pick up a 5-2 win in Game 3. Behind another great pitching performance, this one coming from John Lackey, and Andrew Miller and Koji hold it down in the eighth and ninth, and the Red Sox bat provided enough offense to get the job done.
Yo, dude, how about Andrew Miller, though? Gets no love.
This guy, I mean, he was dominant last year before he got hurt. We got to read off a couple stats for you guys. He's pitched 16 innings this season. He struck out 23 guys, and he's got a whip below one. How many guys strike out more than one guy in an inning and have a whip below one? I don't know.
Him and Koji? Koji, I guess.
Can you name another guy in the league? I don't know. So my question to you is, you know, Tozawa's been up and down a little bit lately. Is Andrew Miller making a bid for that setup man role?
I mean, I think Farrell wants to avoid using him in that because he can be pretty wild at times. I mean, he hasn't been lately, which has been awesome, but what I was actually going to ask you is, like, if they should, this might be risky, but if they could, like, try to stretch him out again, like he was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's intriguing. You know, I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, true. We definitely could use him in the bullpen with Breslow and Mujica like struggling like they are.
Yeah.
So maybe not right now.
I think it's something to toy with in the offseason for sure. Especially, I mean, we're talking about you got an aging couple pitchers, you got a couple pitchers who are having pretty rough seasons, and there's a lot of open spots in that rotation. But then again, you've got a lot of guys in the minors who are having pretty good seasons down there who can be starting pitchers in the future. So, you know, he's really comfortable in his bullpen role, and I don't know if that's something you want to mess with.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I just think it's something that maybe you think about, like you said, a little bit of the offseason maybe. I mean, former sixth overall pick drafted as a starter, so maybe you think about it in the offseason. I mean, I really love what Andrew, he is, he's, when he's on, he's not walking, guys. He has some of the best stuff out of that bullpen. But, excuse me. Yeah, Red Sox get the 5-2 win in the rubber match, which I think was a pretty huge game to win. I mean, even John Farrell said himself that it was kind of a mental hurdle that they had to get over to get above 500.
No doubt. I mean, and this is a pretty solid. I mean, Texas is having kind of a similar year to the Red Sox. I mean, they leave the series right at 500, but this is a strong Rangers lineup for sure, and a kind of a surprising pitching staff. And the Red Sox had to deal with Darvish, and Perez has even had a pretty good season. So it's nice to see the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely kind of assume that they're going to lose that game when Yu Darvish pitches. So, I mean, maybe that's not the right thing to do, but I just basically chalked that one up as a loss. So to take 2 out of 3 on the road is all, and getting above 500, I mean, it feels great, frankly. It's just, we've been talking all year about what's wrong with the Red Sox, and it's kind of nice to start talking about what's going right with them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, I'm looking at it, and kind of an astounding fact here is they're 21st in the majors in batting average, yet 3rd in on-base percentage. So, I mean, they're getting on base, but the problem is, it's one thing to get on base, but you can't walk guys home.
No,
you
got to
come up with those clutch hits, and we've talked about this over and over. But they're batting .244 as a team. There's just too much talent on this roster to hit .244.
Definitely, and that's a thing about their approach to getting on base works in the long run. There's no arguing that. It worked last year, and it will work again. But that being said, like you said, you can't walk in runs 90% of the time. Obviously, kind of the base is
right.
But most of the time, you can't walk in runs. And that's what I think. I see so many times Jackie Bradley and Xander Bogaerts have incredible poise for how young they are at the plate, but I'd love to see the stats on how many strikeout lookings they have or just take strikes they've taken, because I see them take a lot of meatballs, and sometimes it's in a situation where you're just trying to lift a ball in the outfield to get the guy home. And
it's one of those approaches that, as a fan, it's a little bit tough to watch because, again, it does take a while. The games are long. They work a lot of counts, and they do strike out a lot. So
yeah,
it is tough to watch as a fan, but we saw it work last season. And as long as if they bring that batting average up 10 points, they're going to score so many more runs because they leave so many guys on base.
Well, I mean, they should be able to bring it up 10 points. Ortiz isn't going to hit .250 for the entire year.
No, almost nobody's hitting out their career average.
No, definitely. Probably except for Przinski, maybe, who's been kind of surprising.
Yeah, Victorino's been solid since he came back, too.
Yeah, definitely. Victorino's definitely been solid, too. So, yeah, Red Sox get to above 500 for the first time, like we said, since that opening series when they took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. And they got an off day today, which is May 12th, and then they head to Minnesota to take on the Twins. And we got DuBronc going in that first game against Nolasco. Ricky Nolasco used to pitch for the Marlins, and he's pretty decent for them, but he's not good anymore, let's put it just bluntly. But neither is Felix Durant, so maybe a good pitching matchup. But the Twins are 17-19, I believe. But they're worse than that, I feel like.
Yeah, I think their offense is definitely carrying them. You know, 6th in the league in runs. And they've got the Red Sox worst 3 pitchers coming up, so this could be a pretty high-scoring series, seeing as the Twins aren't going to scare anybody with their pitching staff either.
Yeah, and then you got Peavy and then Kevin Correa, Game 2.
Got to win that game.
Definitely got to win that game. Should be able to win it. And then in the finale, you got Buchholz versus Phil Hughes, our old friend Phil Hughes, who I'm seeing right now is sitting at 4-1.
It would have been misleading. He's got a 3.9 ERA, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to just seeing Phil Hughes on the slate and being like, thank God we get a break from the Yankees pitching staff for
Don't
a while.
Don't worry. The Red Sox know Phil Hughes well enough that he's not gonna pitch like he... I mean, a 3.9 ERA is not good, so.
Yeah, at least it's not the 5.19 he had last year. So.
That is true. But the Red Sox know how to hit Phil Hughes hard. They're ready.
Yeah, so I'm really looking for the Red Sox to start. I don't want to do this hovering around 500.
They got to pull away. Maybe take another 2 out of 3 on the road there. Because they've got a tough series coming up with Detroit after that. So it'd be nice to get 2 or 3 wins against Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm honestly looking for 3. I mean, but they're two games out of the AL East, so... I mean, it's way too early to even start thinking about that. But this is... Obviously, these Red Sox aren't as good as they were last year. But they're in a division where you could pull away relatively easily.
I mean, important that is now with the wild card, you know, being a one game play-in, basically.
Oh, yeah, I don't want any of this wild card crap. I mean, that's just... Whew. One game, dude, and then you just
have that conversation.
I know, I was just going to say, we've never even talked about this. I mean, you got one game, and even if you win, you just get to play, start a series without your best pitcher on being fresh. I mean, that is just, I don't know.
Better
I mean,
play well during 162 games.
I guess that's the deal. I was... in favor of baseball expanding their playoffs.
Not in this format, though.
Exactly. I personally think that basketball and hockey both let in way too many teams. The first round is garbage. And I think football is perfect.
Yep.
And I think baseball lets in... maybe now they don't, but before they did this thing, I think they let in too few teams, so I don't think the wild card format they have right now is the way to go about things. I mean, you could say, yeah, it rewards you playing well for 162 games and winning your division, but at the same time, it kind of diminishes those 162 games down into one game.
Yeah, no, I don't think it'll stay how it is for the future. I think down the road we'll see this format change to something different. I'm not quite sure what, but I think you'll see them maybe expand to even another team and kind of play like a 3-game series or something like that.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, the divisional series is, I'm not sure how many of you guys are basketball fans, but I'm a pretty big basketball fan, and the playoffs started what, a month ago, and they're not even halfway through the playoffs. I mean, I don't want it to be like that, but when you think about it, those are 7-game series every series, and baseball already starts the divisional round with 5 games.
Yeah, it's
so.
Kind of crazy that Red Sox. Major League Baseball has the longest regular season, and they have the shortest playoff other than football.
Yeah, and I mean, football is a brutal sport, so...
Yeah, obviously.
I can understand why they
weren't... really compare that, but...
Right. But yeah, they definitely... I don't think it's... Who is it going to bother to even make just the wild card play in a 3-game series? I mean, you reward the team that... You reward the teams that won the division by giving them 3 or 4 days of rest... And by time, and if you do a 3-game series, the teams that wins the wild card series, for number one pitcher will be fresh for the first game of the divisional series. I think there's a lot of ways they could go about it other than what they're doing right now.
I agree, but it is also May 12th, so we're not going to bore you guys with playoff talk yet. So,
although I know that you Red Sox fans would love to overreact to everything, but we try not to. Sometimes we do, but we try not to.
So, but with that being said, that's going to do it for the Lone Red Sea today. Hopefully we'll get back on track. We'll catch you guys after the Minnesota series. And, yeah, just check back in then.
Yeah, and as always, this show is brought to you by Standing O Sports. Sports Rant deserves a standing ovation. You can visit them at standingosports.com. I'm Ian Barber.
I'm Ryan Blazron.
We will see you later, guys.
Peace.